Let's take our Bibles now, turning to Psalm 119, beginning with verse 81. My soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. Mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Incidentally, those bottles that are referred to are skins, leather skins in the smoke that would become brittle, would begin to leak. That's how the psalmist felt. Brittle and not being able to hold up to the test that it was being put up to. But he said, yet I do not forget thy statutes. Verse 84. How many are the days of thy servant? When wilt thou execute judgment on them that persecute me? The proud have digged pits for me, which are not after thy law. All thy commandments are faithful. They persecute me wrongfully. Help thou me. They had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precepts. Quicken me after thy loving kindness, so I shall keep the testimony of thy mouth. The title of our message this evening is Do Right No Matter What. Do right no matter what. Taken from verse 87, they had almost consumed me upon the earth, but, notice, I forsook not thy precepts. If I asked each of you the question, do you want to do what is right? I'm sure all of you would say yes. But we ask ourselves the next question, do we do right? We're going to look at four resolutions that ought to be ours in doing right. I hope you'll jot down these four resolutions in doing right. Number one, do right even when in the world everybody is doing wrong. Do right even when everybody is doing it. You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 6, we have the example of Noah. Let's turn in our Bibles there and just visit briefly to various passages in the Old and the New Testament that highlight for us those who were willing to stand against the opposition, to be among the minority who would be willing to do right in a way and in a world where everybody is doing it. Genesis 6, look at verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But notice verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was one of those men who was willing to do right, even though everyone else was doing wrong. He served God when everybody else in his generation was wicked. What about in our society today? Do we have a tendency to look at the world around us? Do we have a tendency to think, well, if everyone is acting or doing a certain thing, does that give us the liberty to do so? We need to be among those who do right no matter what. I think of Daniel chapter 3, if you'll turn there. All of us remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In the book of Daniel, chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to worship Nebuchadnezzar's image. And they were cast into the fiery furnace. They were willing to be the minority. They were willing to be the ones who would go against the flow. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, we see that the Lord was there with them. It says, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of Man." The Lord was with them in the midst of the fire. You know, the Word of God speaks regarding peer pressure. In the book of Exodus, perhaps you haven't read this scripture recently, but regarding peer pressure and the multitude of people that are oftentimes the ones who clamor for our obedience, in the book of Exodus chapter 23, look at verse 2. This is a good scripture to use against the problem of peer pressure. Here in Exodus 23, notice what it says in verse 2. "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil." That's a good scripture. Just because everyone is doing it, that doesn't mean we need to. Sometimes young people will say, "Well, Dad, my whole class is going there." Or, "Hey, everybody says that they're going, and I don't want to be the only one that doesn't go to that movie or that activity or that dance or that cinema." The fact that everybody is doing it does not determine the fact that we ought to. What does God's Word say? The Word of God says, "Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil, neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment." There'll be many people that'll twist and have a twisted, convoluted moral reasoning. We ought not to follow that. Let's be like Daniel. Let's be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Let's be like Noah. So the first resolution is do right, even when everyone else is doing it, do right. Second resolution, do right even when you could materially profit from sin. Do right even though materially it may benefit you to do wrong. You know, oftentimes individuals that work in auto repair or computer repair or in businesses where it's so easy to hide what your work actually is. And we've all heard of scam artists, and we've all seen programs where hidden cameras revealed individuals putting, for instance, metal shavings inside of transmission fluid and severing hoses while they were under a car. We've heard of the highway robbery and things that can be done nefariously where no one else would know except the one that did it and God. And so many today, well, it's possible to profit materially. You know, in the book of Hebrews, the Word of God speaks about Moses. And I like this scripture in Hebrews 11, that great chapter. We call it the Hall of Fame. Hebrews 11, verse 24. Notice how Moses could have profited materially. It was laid out for him. But in verse 24, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter." He could have had that privilege. He could have had that opportunity. But those stories that he heard on his mother's knee, those truths that he knew that God had a purpose for him, kept him from doing so. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, it sometimes scares me when I have attended, along with my wife, graduation ceremonies in Christian schools and heard the testimonies of the kids that were graduating. And you heard as to what they were seeking after upon graduation, and how many of them made reference to just wanting to go out and make a lot of money. And it's interesting how often we notice the absence of a spirit of gratitude on the part of the students towards their parents in funding their education. How many of them, in their testimonies that they wrote out that were approved by schools, did not even mention thanksgiving for the sacrifices of their parents, and yet they mentioned their friends and their cronies and the good time in the back rows at biology class and the senior trip and all of that. Now, I'm not trying to paint with a broad brush, but it was markedly absent in several of the ceremonies that we have noticed over the years, even in Christian schools. And yet, here, we're challenged to set as our goal doing right. Don't allow the goal of making it on Wall Street to be the determining factor as to what you do. Let's not follow the Jesuit philosophy of the end justifies the means. Oh, let's be careful about that. Number three, do right. Third resolution, do right even when no one will know about it. Do right even when no one else will know. In Genesis chapter 39, we're familiar with the story, verses 7 through 20, of Potiphar's wife. Joseph elevated to a place of great position, and yet he was tempted to sin with Potiphar's wife. The perfect setup, away from his parents, away from those in authority, and he could have been involved in a transgression, and no one would have known, but God would have known. Do right even when no one else will know. Number four, do right even when it means persecution. Daniel understood that. Do you recall in Daniel chapter 6 when he was cast into the lion's den, largely because of the jealousy of the other presidents, and he was cast into the lion's den by Darius for his prayer habits. But he did right and continued in prayer, even though it meant persecution. You know, the Apostle Paul understood this when he said, "For which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." The truth of the matter is, if we live for Christ, we're going to suffer persecution as well. Matthew 5:10 reminds us, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake." There'll be times, young people, that you may be tempted by someone of the opposite sex that will say, "Well, if you're a man, you'll do this." Or perhaps there'll be students in school or in college, yes, even in a Christian school, that are going out to do wrong. They're violating the rules of their school. And there'll be times when you'll be tempted. Are you going to do right? Are you willing to do right, even if you're in the minority? Yea, all those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Folks, as we go to prayer tonight, let's make that commitment to keep on doing right. Do right even when everyone else is doing wrong. Do right even when you can prosper materially from doing wrong. Do right even when no one else will know. You don't have to be patted on the back. Await your reward in heaven. Do right even when it means persecution. Trust in the Lord and do right. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we thank you that we can look to the Scriptures and encourage one another. Thank you for men and women of the faith that have stood, even though they were in the minority, in captivity, in positions, Lord, where humanly speaking, it would be a perfect setup. And yet, Father, they knew that you were always there. And Father, I pray that you would challenge our hearts to keep on doing right. Bless us now, Lord, as we prepare to go to prayer, to bring these great requests before your presence, to pray for one another. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer that we've seen even in the midst of our congregation. And Lord, we rejoice in that. Bless, Lord, the children as they're being ministered to. We pray even for the super kids as they met earlier this afternoon, for your blessing upon the word as it goes forth at the Minnick home as well. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.